Be here. Man, I was thrilled when I came up and act like some people was excited. And that blessed my heart. I'm glad to see God's people look like with a thrill. And don't never lose that. Don't never lose that. And don't ever lose the joy of your salvation. And don't never forget what God's done for you. And you know, the Bible says the goodness of the Lord leads us to repentance. And if we stop and think about how good he has been to us and is, we'll always be repenting all the time. And preacher, thank you for letting me come. I mean that. Thank you. I'm sorry you went off while I go and hunt me. I told my wife, you pray my wife, she's with me, but she's in the motel. My wife is, she's not real sick now. She goes, come on to church, but she's got some ailments. She's getting old, and I shouldn't have said that. Don't tell her I was telling you that. But anyway, she has a lot of fluid gathers around her ankles and so on, and she's talking about her. I said, why don't you stay right here, honey? That preacher won't mind you at all. Do you recognize? I said, no, you don't even know what I'm going to bring you, except I think I told him, you know. But anyway, you pray for her. And good to see Brother Green and his dear boy back here. You know, I used to preach. You know, have you ever know Bill Perry? Old Brother Bill Perry at Rossville, just across the Chattanooga line, Rossville, Georgia. I don't know, I was there many years, July, camp meeting. And the Green family used to sing there, and I always enjoyed them. But I had no idea that, I knew he didn't go to church there. I had no idea, just up the road where my boy was going to come pastor. And Steve's been over 10 years now, I believe. And I went up there, and there's old Butch right there. And he hadn't changed much. He was almost bald back in those days. And he completed it now, and he's got it made. And that's a tremendous choir. I really thank God. I don't know how many years he's been leading that choir for many years. And when I walked in tonight, and there they sat, I said, good. And I had some fun. I thought, now, if nobody has invited them, I spoke to them to come. If nobody invited them, I'm going to tell them they're mine. And didn't you see that preacher try to take them away from me? That's just like he's independent Baptist preachers. Amen. Well, just keep up the good work. God bless your heart. And brother, I'm thrilled about your work that you mentioned tonight with the deaf. I don't know where you ever heard doctor. I couldn't help but I'm going to preach after a while. I'm going to try it anyway. Dr. Howell said years ago, he went, you know, First Baptist in Hammonds, about an hour, I guess, from Chicago. And he said he went over in Chicago for some reason with one of the fellows driving. A van had on the side of it First Baptist Deaf Ministry. You heard him tell it. And he said his driver had a lot of drop streets, you know, along. And he'd run a stop sign somewhere. And a couple of policemen pulled him over. And I said, man, just don't you see that stop sign? And Dr. Hiles, he just said, I just sat there. He was sitting on the passenger side. And I said, and see on the side of his head, tell me. He said, well, you got to watch these things. And said, Dr. Hiles said, I said, and said, finally, one of them policemen said, ah, they don't know nothing. They can't hear. Let's let them go. And said, he let us go. I thought about that. I knew Jack Hiles when he was down at Miller Road way down in Texas. I seen his water here, and I thought about, he said he preached when he was just a young preacher boy in a Methodist church there in Texas. And this fella asked him to preach for him, and he said he didn't know that they sprinkled. And he said it's something like that, little, thought it was odd-looking glass sitting there, and he said, I'd preach a little while, and I'd take a sup and said, those people, and... And he said, come find out, I was drinking their baptismal water. Is this your baptismal water? Yes, I hug you. I want you to turn with me to John chapter 21 tonight. John chapter 21 tonight. I'm thrilled, like I said, to see this good crowd, these young people. And and was thrilled when I found out your pastor had been here for a while. And I don't mean that. It's the man who's just been for a little while. Don't mean that. Don't mean the man has to stay somewhere forever. I have. I'm glad God left me there. But I see so much of this thing jumping from here to there, so much. They're not just among preachers, but against so many people. Ed McDarius is a good friend of mine. He's 95 or 96 now, and a great pastor in several churches. And he came by five, 6 years ago to see us. My wife and I took him out for a meal. We were sitting there talking, and Ed's wife looked over at me, and she said, "Brother Bobby, Ed used to say, I believe the Lord's leading me to do so-and-so." About a week or two later, "The Lord's leading me to do so-and-so. And the Lord's leading me to do so-and-so." And he said, "I mean, the Lord's leading him here, and in just a few days, the Lord's leading him out of the way, and in the Lord." And she said, "I told him, Ed, if you don't quit changing God's mind, he's going to get mad at you sometime." So sometimes we just jump, and I've done a lot of it myself. And it's just a thrill to see a pastor that has stuck with here, and thank you for that preacher, and so on for that. All right. Well, I don't know what I was going to say, but something else, but whatever it was, we'll forget it right now. Anyway, you know the story here in John 21. I'm not going to read all the chapter. We'll start verse 18 in a few minutes. But let me just say a word. Maybe somebody here that's not familiar with the life of Simon Peter. You know, his brother Andrew led him to Christ. Folks, we need to try to win souls every way we turn. Amen. Win souls, you know. I was talking to a young lady over there today at the motel when I checked in, and I come back by there or something and spoke to her, and I said, went in with things, you know, and I was going down to get my wife and I buy tea somewhere. I said, you go to church? No. I don't know her. She said it harsh, you know. And I said, you don't go to church? No. And I said, I mentioned your church, and I don't know about it. And I said, well, let me give you something good to read. I said, I happen to be a preacher from North Carolina. I was going to this church tonight. And she took my tract to think and just laid it down over there. And I told my wife, I said, I don't know the girl's heart, but I didn't say nothing. It looked like I was saved, you know. And I may just get into that if I can, but she was nice and everything about checking, seeing, but I mean, when you start anything about the Lord, nope. And folks, people's going to hell by the multitudes now. That's the truth. I remember hearing Dr. Bob Jones Sr., who founded the university. It's got to be 45 years ago. I don't know, he's been dead several years. 45 or 50 years ago. And he said people is going to hell so fast. He said, you can't see them for the dust they're leaving behind. I never will forget him saying that. And I thought, boy, back in those days, and you compare it today. And I want to encourage you people, let that be your main thing in your life, is to try to reach people for the Lord. That's main. You've had some good preachers. You had Steve Grubbs. He's a good friend of mine. Joe Arthur, he's a preaching machine. And you had him, so don't look too much for me. And then Steve, of course, he won't be able to be here. You pray for Steve. As most of you know, he had a bypass about two months ago. And Steve has a real time, hard time. That's our boy I'm talking about, diabetic. He's been a diabetic about 33 years now, and was on 5 shots of insulin for years every day, and then got one of these pumps about 3 years ago, and I don't know where it's best for him or not. He's talking about trying to go back on them. Anyway, he's always been active. He's been jogging about 3 miles a day for 30 years or more. And all of that to work on that sugar. If you folks, any of you have diabetes, you know what I'm talking about. And anyway, he had some blockages and all that, and he had to have the open heart surgery. And the doctor said his heart was good, but there's so much insulin in his system. And he's been active, and he came down to our place last Saturday week ago. My wife was so scared he was too weak to make it, but he was coming, and he spent a little over a week with us there, just kind of pilling around the house and so on. And I didn't mention at our church that he was even around. I told him let me hide his car, and he wouldn't do that. Anyway, let me share this with you. We just prayed. Some of the days And but you've seen him in bad shape. Some of the days he's just so depressed, and his sugar, blood was up over 400 and things like that. One night he slipped across the hall from me and stayed with me and my wife. And anyway, one night I think he's up about all night trying to get that stuff down, and he gets too low and everything. But I just wondered, he's planning to preach next Sunday in his church. And Steve, I wish you wouldn't plan. I had a heart attack when I was 29, and I don't know one thing about the open heart thing, but I know back then, for a long time, you go through depression and thinking of responsibility. And I said, I'd rather see you go to church, not even plan to preach. And then one of the assistants there could just, he'd say, let me say a word, and if you feel, get up there and feel, but if you're thinking about ahead of time. And, of course, he don't listen to me much. He's hard-headed. So he didn't listen to me. But that's what I want to tell you right quick. He had a real bad Saturday night, Sunday. We left him sitting there Sunday morning, and he couldn't eat no breakfast. He said that sugar was so high. And anyhow, we went on to church, my wife and I. And after sometime after Sunday afternoon, I think he said he'd eat a part of a banana sandwich or something. And then Sunday night, I got ready to go to church, and I told my wife, I'm not going to say a word about him going at all. And I said, don't tell him, why don't you just stay here with him, and I'll go on to church. And, you know, Dr. Gibbs was there with us Sunday, and you know what I'm talking about, David Gibbs. Anyway, had sweet services. We were shaking hands like you folks, and some little boy said, preacher, Brother Steve over yonder, won't you let him preach? And I said, son, Brother Steve's not here. He said, yeah, look over yonder. And I looked to my left, we had a big old auditorium, and there sat my wife and him right over there. And so when we got through shaking hands, I slipped over, and I said, listen, I want you to come up here in a minute and pray. And I said, you just leave it to me, boy. And so when we got ready for the offering, I just said, our people love Steve. He worked with me 29 years as youth director. And anyway, I said, come up here, boy. And he got up there, you know, and he's weeping and thanking the people. Our folks, Lord, how they love him. And they'd sent him so many cards and calling all the time. And I said, you want to thank the people. I think it done him good, Butch. And he talked a little while, and he got stronger. Then he prayed, and that's it. And yesterday, he was just stronger. And last night, just talking, he left there about 10 this morning and drove home. And we talked to him up the road. He went one way and we went the other. And I'd come by the hospital to visit. And he seems to be doing good now. He's had a good day. And he'll probably be over at the church tomorrow. He kept saying, I got to get back. Got a lot of things to do. So he's improving. And I appreciate your prayers. Many of you already knew about it. And I appreciate your prayers. I wasn't going in that. Now let me go back to my story. Right here, Simon Peter got saved, and Andrew led him to Christ. And you remember he was fishing for fish one day, and Jesus came by, and he's cleaning up his nets, and Jesus came by and said, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. You remember that story? And he left that and followed him, and he went on. And Peter made a lot of mistakes, like all of us do in life, you know. You know, when that mob was wanting to try to kill him, and Peter wanted to take up for him. And, you know, Jesus told him what was going to happen. Oh, no, you know, all that Peter's wanting to take up for him. And then Peter told him, if they all forsake you, I won't forsake you. Peter meant that. And folks, we make statements a lot of time in the old flesh, but it's awful weak, you know. And you know, remember the story. Then Peter got afraid, warmed himself by the enemy's fire. And I think Peter really thought it's all over with. Because you remember what Jesus said, go tell your disciples and Peter there one time, you know. And now this is the third time after that. I think Peter says this to some of the other disciples. He said, I believe I'll go fishing. You know, friend, there's nothing wrong with fishing now, but listen. If you'll notice, when we get a little backslid in our heart, we'll go back to doing a lot of things that we one time did. You know, we just get back. We don't, Jesus is not doesn't have the preeminence anymore. Some other things that come in there. And I think that's what happened. So he, six more of them, there in the 21st chapter of John, six four more of them said, we'll go with you. Now, when you get in a backslidden condition like it, it's always easy to get somebody else to come with you. You know, here's somebody over here, and they're cold and indifferent, a little critical about everything. And then, here's a fellow just, hallelujah, praise the Lord. And the fellow says, what do you think about so-and-so? What do you think about this in the church? I don't think, well, yeah, it's right. And you done won him over. You done got him on your same boat. Well, I think that's what, so here they've been out there fishing. And the next morning, Jesus goes out there. He's always there. And you remember that feast all night, didn't catch anything. Something happened, man. Peter knew, he was an old fisherman by trade. He knew where this at, but things wasn't clicking for him. And Jesus come on the shore, you remember, and he said, children, have you got any meat? And somebody said, that's the Lord. And whoa, we've toiled all night. We haven't caught. He said, you're on the wrong side. Cast your net on the right side and you'll find. Dr. Rice used to preach for us some, and I remember him, I remember what Dr. Rice said. You know, some of you younger, older fellas remember him. Look, I don't know what he wore glasses for. You know, it's like you, he just thought he needed them, I guess. I don't know. But he always looked like this, you know. And I remember him saying, talking about that story, you know, in the Bible. And he said, Jesus said, them fish, you stay over on that side. You stay over there, little fish. Them backsliders, you don't you get over there. And he said they listened to him. And then when Jesus told them to put them over, they caught 153 fish. And they couldn't even get them in him hardly. And then Jesus, when they come up on shore, he already had fish ready. And he said, come and dine. And then he said, give me those. And then if you remember, after that, he said, Peter, which do you love the most? You love this or you love... And he said, Lord, I love you. How many times have you backslid in your heart, and yet down in your heart you knew you loved the Lord? And Peter said, I love you, Lord, better than this. And I'll tell you, if you've ever had a dose of old-time salvation, you've never had nothing to beat that. Amen. But that's it. I don't care how bad and cold you get. God's love is in there. And you remember he asked him three times. And that third time, Peter said, Lord, you know all things. You know I love you. I think he was saying, Lord, I know I messed up, but down in my heart, I love you. And every time Jesus said, I got something for you to do. Feed my lambs. Feed my sheep. Get things right. And get back in the groove like you ought to. And all that happened. And then I come to that verse 18. I'll hurry up right here. My goodness, I've been talking so long, I don't want to preach all night. Verse 18, look at it. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, he's talking now to Peter, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest where thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whithersoever thou wouldest go, wouldest not. And this is what he said in verse 19. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, you just follow me. Now notice what he said. Jesus said there was a time, Peter, when you went where you wanted to. You was young. But now when you get older, another's going to gird you. And you're not going to go like you'd want to every time. And he said, I'm talking about the death you're going to glorify me with. And you remember, I believe it's Bible history says that Peter was crucified upside down. When they killed him, he said, I'm not worthy to die like my Lord. But anyhow, he said, I just want you to follow me. All right, now let's read a few verses further. Look at verse 20. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper. Now we know that's John, okay? And John said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter, seeing him, said to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? Now Jesus is telling Peter, Peter, I want you to follow me. Well, how about him? Well, I know what Jesus told him. Jesus said to him in verse 22, he said unto him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow me. I think what he's saying is none of your business about him. What you need to do is keep your eyes on me and follow me. Amen. You see, how many times, if you have buses or you ladies work in the nursery and some of you been in there for years and them young'uns wear you out and all of that, and here's somebody else just go, and once in a while you say, I think I've had it. I think it's time they got in there and had that time, if you're not careful, and yet God wants you to keep on, you see. Folks, we're not to try to compare other people with us, but we're to get our eyes on Jesus and follow him. That's the one. And he said, follow me. And then, let me read another verse. Then went this saying abroad among the brethren, that disciples should not die. Yet Jesus said to him, he shall not die, but if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? You know what Jesus was really saying? He is saying, now I didn't say that. He didn't. You know, something goes through one or two mouths and never comes out right. You ever think about that? That's right. These must have been Baptists, you know, the world. Never comes out right. Now, Jesus said, Peter, if I want him to live till I come back, what is that to thee? You follow me. And the saying went abroad that Jesus said he was going to live till he come back. And Jesus didn't say that, you see. But follow me. I can turn to more verses. I was reading this afternoon over in Ecclesiastes, I believe the 6th chapter. And you remember Solomon was the wisest man. And yet Solomon, and he had, could you imagine tonight having anything you wanted? Well, that's what that man did. He was rich, Solomon was. But did you know he said, I hate life? Did you know life is not the abundance of things? It don't consist of the abundance of things. That's not what brings real life. A man who wants this and wants that, and when he gets that, then he wants the other and wants that, and it's never satisfied. Never satisfied. And Solomon went through with that there in the Old Testament. But he comes down and talks about hating life. And he, in that 6th chapter, I'm not going to turn back to it, but he said, what is it's all vanity? He said, what is it in life for man? Folks, if we leave the will of God and following the Lord Jesus Christ out of our life, we'll finally come to just about that place in our life. Really will. I want to talk to you a little while tonight. Some things God laid on my heart, I believe, will help us to keep on following him. Now, I've seen a lot of people, and you have here. I've seen a lot of people through the years start out, and they meant it. And they said, Pastor, I don't care what comes or goes. I'm going to stick in here with you. They didn't lie to you, but a lot of them's gone. A lot of them's gone. I've seen people 50 years ago wouldn't miss visitation. I've seen people weep over souls. And I see some of those people today out trying to drop it in church occasionally. And they're going out to some amusement places on Sunday instead of church. What happened? They didn't keep following Jesus. And there's some reasons for that, my friend. And what I want to talk about is some simple things tonight that'll help me and you, and I'm preaching to Bobby Robinson too, that'll help me to keep on following him. If you ever heard Lee Robinson preach, you heard about dying daily, didn't you? And that may be a very small thing, but that's very important. The Bible said in 1 Corinthians 15:31, he said, I die daily. I die daily, you see. You remember what Paul said in Romans 12? I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, you see. And then if we do that, he said, don't be conformed to this world, he said, but be you transformed. And when we do that, that's only our reasonable service. I think the Apostle Paul, one reason he was such a victorious man, he learned that in his life. You never read any of his writings. None of Paul's writings, and we know how he was beaten, how he was put in prison, how he was lied about, and all of that. But you've never read where he ever got bitter. Did you ever think about that? Never time, I mean, an ounce of bitterness. And bitterness kills you, my friend. It kills you. But unless we learn to die daily to self, we'll soon get so bitter that we'll lose the joy of our salvation. Paul said this, I'm crucified. By the way, these little kids don't bother me. I preach to them all the time. Yeah, they don't bother me. Don't worry about them. If they move around, they get too hard, I'll say, sit down there. One little bus boy, they grinned and laughed at me. And a little old bus boy had brought, I guess, a preached along. It's been years ago. He had a little brown sack. I didn't pay attention. And he's sitting on the front pew and he's laughing at me and said he eat his lunch while you was preaching. He'd bite a bite and put it back. And I didn't know it. My wife says sometimes, didn't that bother you? When I said, bother what? When? I don't know. I'm just don't pay no attention like yet, really. And some of you were watching that part. But what I started to say, you remember in Galatians 2:20, Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I'm alive, you see me. But this life that I now live in the flesh, I don't live by me. I'm dead. But I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I'm just saying, folks, me and you need to learn that every day die, somebody will hurt you. Somebody will hurt you. The devil will make sure somebody's going to criticize you. And you say, what do you do about that, preacher? You just die to it. That's easy to say. Maybe hard to do, but we've got to learn to die to things like that. And I think it'll help us. I think it'll help us to realize what Christ done for us. Listen, since I've been saved 62 years now, and I've failed him so much. Now, if he felt hard at me for the times I've failed him, I'd be in bad shape. And if the same way to you. And we need to look to see how much Jesus loves us and how he forgives us. And you say, well, that person done this to me. They never asked, you forgive me anyhow. God didn't say, wait till they ask you. You forgive them. He said, if your enemy is hungry, give him something to eat. He said, if he's thirsty, he said, give him some water. And in doing this, you'll heap coals of fire upon his head. You know, our church, we don't have 6,000 now in church. Don't misunderstand. But we got 6,000 members. That's a lot of people. We got all kinds. You name them. All kinds. But I tell you the truth, and I hate to be, the one you're looking at tonight, I have more trouble with him than do all the rest of them. You know what I mean? You see, there's a man attending our church now. I guess I was his pastor for 20 years or more. And he just got wrong at me one day. And he lied to me and all that stuff. And he woke up and blessed me out. I had three or four men in the church one time. I'm talking about after service. I remember one fellow, big old fellow, he's a retired policeman years ago. And he just took his hand and said, you don't talk to a preacher like this and went on out the door with him. He got a little radio program one time on the station there, and he got to criticizing me. He didn't call my name out, but everybody knew he was talking about. And he'd come talk to me about it. I said, oh, forget it. He just didn't get study. He had to say something. And went on like that. And I'd see him maybe once a year, meet him somewhere. He'd probably live 15, 20 miles from our church. And a while back, let me say 6 months ago, I'm shaking hands and get on back, and there he sits, him and his wife. And he grabbed my hand. He is so glad to see me. He loves me so much. God teaches him things, folks. You say, well, I'd make him know. I'd make him do nothing. I'm going to love him if I can. Old brother Marsh, you don't know him, you don't know who I'm talking about. Years ago, this man got saved in his 60s. He was a millionaire. And only one I knew of then, I'm talking about 40 years ago, he lived about 2 miles from our church. And he run the Gulf Oil Company in Winston-Salem. He owned it. And everybody talked about that millionaire. But he got saved. And several people worked for him, and he had several stations. He never did join our church. He joined the Methodist church up the road, but he come to our church more than he went there. And he's always invite me to come to his house to eat, things like that. One day he come by, and he was raised on a farm, and he left to garden. He had him a little mule. He built a barn out down there in his big old house. They said, now I'm talking about 35, 40 years ago, built a barn for his little mule, and the barn was $10,000. Barn. He had a had a restroom, all that. And when we'd come down, we'd sit around and have fellowship. His old mule was over there on that side. But he loved to plow. He'd get up in the summertime at 5 o'clock, and had a big garden. And he'd plow that he knew all about it, so he was raised on it. Well, let me tell you, he come by me one day and he said, "Preacher," he said, "I got a fellow runs the station over yonder, and he don't like me." He said, "I don't know what I've done to him, just can't stand me." And he said, "I'm determined." He was real serious. He said, "I'm determined to love the devil out of him." That's what he said. And he said this, he came by to see me once in a while. He said, "You know, I picked some green beans." And I carried him and said, "Hey, thinking about you today, hey." And he said, around the station, he said, "I just got you some fresh green beans and brought." He said, "A day or two later, I got him some corn." He said, "I had some potatoes. I dug, I got him some potatoes." He said, "He got sweeter and sweeter." And said, "You know, he just loves me to death now." You know, if we Christians could learn what the Bible said and practice it, it'll work, my friend. That's what I'm saying. It'll work. It'll work. And that old boy, that man, his wife's on a walker now. He's coming back to our church. And Sunday night, he come up to me. And when our service broke, he got out right quick because he didn't need to talk to them people anyway. And this fellow made his way up the front. He said, "Where's Brother Steve?" And I said, "He's gone." And he tears in his eyes. He said, "Will you tell him I love him?" And I said, "Yeah." And he just coming back in there. And he likes my preaching now. And by the grace of God, I'll never say anything about that. Now, I'm not that good a Christian, but life is a learning position all the time. You young people, you'll get hit and hurt out in school. Don't you try to fight your battle. I remember 10 years ago, Clarence Sexton was talking to me one day. And you know, the Bible is just a book. If you read that, then you never got that like that. One day old Clarence was talking to me, and he said, "Before I close out," I said, "let me give you a good verse I was reading this morning." He said, Exodus 14:14, "The Lord shall fight for you and hold you your peace." I said, "Wait a minute, Clarence, do that again. Quote that again." I'd read it many times. And you know, that thing come alive to me. And when something happens, God brings it up, "The Lord will fight for you." If you and I want to fight our own battles, he'll let us and we'll make a mess out of it. But if we'll learn to wait on him, he'll fight them for us. Amen. He knows how, you see. It may be your children backslid. And it may be your wife or husband may not be saved. I don't know. But if you just turn it over to the Lord, die to self every day. Die to criticism. Die to gossip. All that stuff. Just die to it, my friend. And if we do, we can keep the joy of the Lord in our heart. We better learn to do that. And listen, it'll hurt our testimony. I thought about Demas in the Bible. You remember what Jesus said? "Demas hath forsaken me, having loved the present world, and is departed in such night." If he'd have died to the world, he wouldn't have took off, you see. The attractions and all them things. And men, you've got the flesh, but we better die to them things every day. Every day of our life. And these preachers know what I'm talking about. This can happen to pastors. I know pastors has got so bitter because it's done this way and done that way. It hurts our testimony. Right. And I'm just saying, we need to keep the joy. I want a man to the Lord. He's with the Lord now. But he was 42 years old. He was so happy. And I had a funeral one Sunday afternoon. He's going to do something for me all the time. Old Scotty Long, and he said, "Let me go with you at this funeral." And he said, "I want to take you." I said, "Okay." So it was at another church, and it was another preacher. It wasn't the church he pastored, but we had the funeral, and we're in the funeral procession now, going to the cemetery to bury the person. And this particular preacher that I'm talking about, it had part in it. He had just had a lot of trouble in his church, and he had just resigned. Maybe a few months ago. I looked over at him. I said, "Brother, are you pastor now?" He said, "No, and I never intend to with a bunch of hypocrites." It's just like pouring cold water in that car. And here my new convert, 42 years old, he'd been a Catholic all his life and said he'd never been so happy in his life. And he just had the joy. It looked like it hurt. And when we buried that person and come on back and let that preacher out of our car, you know what my new convert said coming to the road? "What's wrong with that fellow? Do you think he's saved?" He did. That's what he said. I said, yes, sir. You don't understand. I said, he's been hurt. He's a good man. Folks, we got to learn. I could pull up and park there all and talk about that for hours. But we've got to learn to die to self. I remember hearing Dr. Robertson say this three or four times in the old building down there. Preacher, you was there, I guess, in school at that time. You know the balcony come down the side. And Dr. Robertson said after a service one day, and I think he was usually about last leaving, and he went out the back and went down the alley, out that alley, that street. And he said one of his members is going to his car after morning service. And Dr. Robertson said one of his members is standing out there. And he said, how are you doing today? She said, not good. Don't you know about it? And Doc said, no. You mean you don't know about it? You didn't see it? And he said, no, what you talking about? She said, you know, Dr. Robertson, for 22 years, I've sat to your left up there. You know, I'm always sitting to your left. He said, yes, ma'am, I know, I see you there. And said, I went there this morning. I always sat there. And says, a man sitting there. And I told him, this is where I always sit. And he said, you won't sit here today. Now, you know, we laugh, but sometimes, folks, we're about that bad. Let's just face it. And that woman left and waiting to tell the pastor about it. Doc said, I said, oh, man, have you ever heard me preach on dying to self? He said, that woman said, yeah. He said, how long has it been since you died? He said, you think about this now here. And he said, I left her. And you know, no pastor ever enjoys people leaving his church. Dr. Lee Robertson said, he was sitting on the platform on Sunday night, the choir was singing. And he had her on his mind. And he said he looked up, but she wasn't there. And he said, I went all the way around, but she wasn't there. And he said, I sat there and I started on my left going downstairs now. And he said, I was looking. See her. He said, she seen me looking, and she's come downstairs and said, when I got on this side, she done that. He said, she died. Never had no more trouble out of her. She died. That's what I mean. That's what I mean, friend. Listen, this world I hear is looking at my life and yours. The people all in these communities can see people jump up, and boy, bless God, they're going to whoop, but though they where they at 2, 3, 4, 5 years now. You see what I mean? That hurts the name of Christ. So I'm just saying, if we don't die to self, it'll hurt our testimony. I got to tell you this, and I'll move on. It won't take me long on my other points I put down here. One of my members, this happened, C.L. Grace, he was an old gentleman, moved in our area from West Virginia. Man, he loved the Lord. And he's been dead 25, 30 years. But he told me a story I'll never forget. He said, preacher, years ago, he said, out west, one year the grasshoppers literally ruined the wheat fields. They got big wheat fields, you know. He said this man was saved, was Christian, and he had a 100-acre wheat field and millions of grasshoppers just like many of them there. And he said he was down at the little country store one day, and some little fella come in and said, at field like yours. And he said, yes, sir. And you're a Christian. He said, yes, sir. He said, this man said to him, what kind of God do you serve would let the grasshoppers come in and ruin your whole crop? And Mr. Grace said this. And that man looked at him and said, sir, you don't know. You got this all wrong. It's not really mine. It's God. And if he wants to feed his wheat to the grasshoppers, that's his business. It's not mine. I never forgot that. And I'm going to tell you, friend, I'm talking to myself. If me and you could live like that, and we ought to, we wouldn't be all uptight about every little thing. It belongs to him. Amen. You see, we're his children. As an earthly father pits his children, even so does the Lord pity them that fear him, you see. And so I'm just saying, it'll help us. Let me say, secondly, now get this thought, I got to die to self every day. And then secondly, I must learn to resist Satan. The Bible tells me that. Listen, in James 4:7, submit yourselves, therefore, unto God. Resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Now, if you notice, he didn't say resist the devil and then submit yourself. Because I'm no match for the devil. You're not either. But he tells us in that scripture, in James chapter 4 and verse 7, he says, submit yourselves therefore to God. And then resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Somebody told me years ago, a little boy got saved. And a while after that, he had a bad temptation of some kind. I like this story. And he said, Jesus, the devil's knocking at my door, and I'm scared of him. Will you answer it? Don't you never get built up and think you're something.
Amen.
Let me tell you, the flesh profiteth nothing. I'm as sorry a person as I was 62 years ago if it wasn't Jesus Christ. And if you ever see anything that you think's good about Bobby Robinson, it ain't him. That's good English. It's not him, it's him. He's a good one. You keep that in mind all the time. But that little boy said, I'm scared of him. You can take care of him, Jesus. Submit ourselves to God. Resist the devil. The Bible says in the book of Corinthians that he transforms himself into an angel of light. You know, mother used to tell me when I was a little boy, you better be good, the booger man will get you. Some of you remember them old big red devil like in with a devil pitchforks on, you know, where you pour that stuff down the sink, drain and all that. I thought that's what he looked like. But I found out that's not it. If he come in here like that tonight, we'd run from him. But he transformed himself like an angel, and he creeps in. You see what I mean? And then you remember the book of Peter says, he's as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. You ever go to a zoo or somewhere and see an old lion, and he comes from one side of the cage to the other, and you think after a while it looked like he'd get tired, but you can stand there and he'll just, whoom, whoom. And if you don't think he'll take your finger, you stick it in there and he will. And that's the way the devil, he is out to ruin my testimony and your testimony. If he can get you, that aggravated neighbor of yours, if he can get you to just say one harsh word, that's what he wants, because he wants to kill your testimony, you see. I never forget Dr. Tom Malone. What a man he was. He, preacher, you know, he preached for us a whole lot. Doc Malone said, and he was from Emmanuel Baptist Church in Pontiac, Michigan. Some of you don't know who I'm talking about. He's with the Lord now. What a preacher. John Rice said he was the best preacher in at that time, and I believe it, really. He told me, or he said it in our pulpit, maybe. He was coming in from a meeting, tired, worn out. And he said it was 2 or 2:30 in the morning. He was driving. Well, naturally, about that time, you look at every house and they're dark. And he said, I got to thinking, Tom, you're wearing yourself out and nobody cares. Look here, everybody else is resting and sleeping. But now, look at you. You're just going to worry. You're driving all night to get home. And he said, man, I got an awful shame. And Dr. Malone said, I happen to think, now who's putting that in my mind? It is what he said. He said, I pulled my little Pontiac over to the side of the road, and I got out and went around on the pasture side and opened the door. The old man now, 2 or 2:30 in the morning, and said, devil, you've rode as far as you're going to in the name of Jesus. Get out of my car.
Amen.
And the old doc said, I shut the door back, and I went over and I got under the wheel and said, amazing grace come to me, and I got to humming and singing and thanking God that he gave me the health and strength to drive all night and to preach. Listen, this pastor right here loves you. And if you're not careful, if he's like me, he's got 10, 12 things on his mind. I mean, Aunt Susie stopped him over here and said, preacher, I wish you'd request prayer for Uncle Joe today. And he's trying to remember Uncle Joe, and then here's another one come down here, and you don't realize it. And he's got 4 or 5 things, and he knows it's going to hurt you if you don't mention them all, and he's trying to think of them. And he's coming down, and he may say, how are you today, John? And maybe Joe's sitting there, Jim, or whoever you want to call him, Charlie, and he looked right at you and didn't speak to you. Now, he may not be like me, but I'm bad at that. You know, not intentional. You know, with your mind on something, somebody said, did you see so-and-so? No. That's like that little boy eating his meal that Sunday. I didn't want to look at him. I was looking to people, trying to keep my mind on my scriptures. But it's what I'm trying to say. He, and I'm just using that as an illustration, he can come by you and maybe he can speak to the person next to you, shake it, and walk right by. No intention. But you know what the devil will say? You see what he done? You see, he thinks more of him than he does you. And he'll build up a coldness in your heart. Folks, the devil is out to deceive. He's out. And if we could realize that he's an enemy of ours. Amen. And stop and realize it's the devil. I mean, some of you ladies might be that your home is not as good as the other fellows over yonder. And your poor husband is trying to make ends meet. And you can't understand why. Y'all go to church all the time. They never go. They claim to be saved. They never go to church. They got a boat and a camper and everything else running all over the country. And you're trying. And if you're not careful, you can just get under a juniper tree. And you know who's doing all that? It's the old devil. That's the old devil. When men and women can't get along, if you just stop and recognize, it's the devil. It's the devil. And the devil wants to tie our homes up. He wants our preachers to get mad at each other. He does everything he can, and I believe he knows his time is short, don't you? Everything he can to try to cause friction. And we need to recognize it's the devil and submit to God. Now, I want to say thirdly, I keep my little thoughts in mind. I'm not much of a preacher. I just get a thought and go with it. And that's about all I can do. Die to self. Resist Satan. And stay in contact with the Lord every day. Now, all these are sermons themselves, but you stay in contact with him. Now, preacher, how do we stay in contact? Well, he stays in contact with us through this book. You know, don't go off and say, well, I had this dream. Man, no. Somebody come up to me a few years ago and tell me off and a revival. Oh, preacher, I seen right weary. God's revealed all he wants me and you to know in this book right here. Yeah. And he wants to talk to us, but he talked to us through the book. And let me tell you, every day get a little time to get alone with him and say, Lord, I'd like for you to talk with me. And you just start reading. I guarantee you'll get a nugget. I don't care if you've read it 100 times. You'll say, well, I've never seen that before. You see, man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that comes forth the mouth of God. Now listen, I'm not against all this electronic stuff, but I'm afraid we Christians are spending too much time with this. Was television, now it's everything else too. You know, online, offline, you name it, all this stuff, and just hours and hours and hours and neglecting this book. Now, this should come first. And I'm saying, let's stay in contact with the Lord. You know, a man and woman is happy. They take time to communicate with each other. Did you know that? I can get so busy sometime until the Lord convicts me. Good night. I need to spend some time with that old woman of mine. Maybe she hasn't said a word, but I get to thinking. And it doesn't take things to make your wife happy. It just takes communication and love. That's what I'm saying. And I'm just saying it'll cause coldness if we don't communicate. Communicate all the time, you see. So now he talks to us through his word, and we talk to him by prayer. You see, it's a two-way thing. And we better get along with him every day and talk to him. I'll never forget, preacher, I don't know where you were sitting. I don't reckon you was at Temple then because I'm so old I can't remember back how long it was. But Jack Hiles was preaching in old Southwide there. And he told us from the pulpit. You know, Dr. Weigel had been dead now for years, wrote the song, No One Ever Cared For Me Like Jesus. Jack Hiles was preaching at the Highland Park. And he said this in his message. He said, I was here some years ago. And he said, Dr. Weigel, if you remember, Dr. Lee Robertson gave Dr. Weigel a home in his latter days there at Tennessee Temple. I understand, didn't have any living relatives. The man's up in his 90s. Jack Hiles said, I was here a few years ago, and I wanted to see him, and he wasn't in service. And asked Dr. Robertson, he said he's not well, really. He's not able to leave his room. And Jack Hiles said, I said, I wished I could see him. Dr. Robertson told him where to go to see him. And he went down there, and he said this. He told it from the pulpit there, Jack Hiles did. He said, I walked up to the door and said he was talking to somebody. And I stood out there, he said, seemed like 10 minutes. I just wanted to speak to the old gentleman so bad. And he kept talking. And he said, I hate to interfere with his company. But Dr. Howell said, fine, I'm just going to do it anyway. And he said, I knocked on his door. And Dr. Weigel come to the door and opened. Well, hey, Brother Jack, come in. And he said, I stepped inside the room. And that the old man, 92 or 3, is this 2 or 3 years before he died? And said, I'm sorry to interrupt you and your company, but I've been standing out here for a long time. I just want to see. He said, I don't have any company. Dr. Howell said, I've been standing out there. You've been talking to somebody. He said, he dropped his head. And he said, well, you see, Brother Howell, I'm going to live with Jesus before long. And I was just talking to him. We're just having a good time. He was praying, you see. Yeah, said, I'm going to go up there and live with him a little while. Won't be long. We're just talking a little while. Have a little fellowship. And Dr. Howell said, you stood that old gentleman, 97, and said, there he stood. He didn't have his shoes on. And I said, just in his socks. And I said, Brother Wild, where's your shoes? He said, it looked like he embarrassed him for a minute. And he said, well, Larry said, the old gentleman said, well, it got so sweet in here. I've been jumping up and down on the bed just having me a time. Folks, let me tell you something. There's nothing any sweeter than to have that communion with Jesus. My mother's mother lived to be 96. She was a widow for years. She was an old-fashioned Methodist. The old Methodist called a second blessing. Grandma said to me one day, Bobby, now don't you laugh at me, and I know you don't call it that, but son, I believe you've had the second blessing. But she'd tell me some of the sweetest stories. I never went to Grandma's house, and she lived 6 or 8 miles from me. I never went there, but what I didn't find a Bible laying on that old big kitchen table open. I remember telling her one day, she said, some of them would think I'm crazy, but you won't. I won't tell you what happened the other night. She said, it was cold, and she said the old pipes froze on the house, and I didn't have nobody unless I called some of the youngins to come. And I thought, Lord, I ain't got no man to go in there and do them things. And she said, I got to feeling sorry. And said, the Lord brought Job to my mind. And Grandma said, I just read the Job, wrote the book of Job that night. Just like me and you would say, I read a chapter. Job's got 42 chapters in it. But Grandma said, I read the book of Job. And she said, Bobby, I got so blessed. I forgot about myself. And son, I come to myself and I was upstairs shouting. The old house had a big old upstairs. She lived there by herself. You could live with her for 6 months and she wouldn't have known it. She wasn't afraid of nothing. But she said it got so sweet. She said, I just up there having me a hallelujah time. Folks, we got so much this wildfire today until it's run us away from the real fire of God. Amen. But there's a real joy and peace, and we must stay in touch with Him. I remember hearing Lee Robertson make this statement before, never face people until you face God every day. And when we get alone with Him, then it won't be bad to face people at you. Stay in contact with Him. Resist Satan. Die to self. And then look for Him every day. Unto them that look for Him shall He appear. And as somebody said, Saturday is going to be the time. If it happens Saturday, it ain't because he said so. You remember that. This fellow, claims that's the day the rapture is going to take place, because nobody knows when He's coming. But the Bible said, watch therefore, for you neither know the day nor the hour, but He's coming. Jesus is coming just like He said He was. And He's never lied yet. He's coming back. And men, you need to recognize and realize that this could be the night. In the morning could be, if it tarries till then, that Jesus Christ is going to step out on the cloud and give the shout. And if we're saved, we're going up. And if you're lost, you're going to be left here in the tribulation. We need to realize that. I'll tell you what it'll do. If you're looking for company, it'll cause us to keep our house straightened up. If you thought this preacher and I, maybe I'll not use this. Yeah, I'm going to anyway. If you thought this preacher and I, if the pastor said to some of y'all, said, Brother Bobby and I are going to come by and see you a few minutes tonight after church. I wonder how many of you ladies would say, let's hurry up and get home. I want them fellas to see this dirty house. And you say, Don't you open that door right there. You know I haven't washed the dishes, and I wouldn't want them to know that. And we're just humans like you. But I just said that to say this. If you knew you was having company, you'd straighten up things. And if we're looking for company, we'll be where he wants us to be. And keep us spiritually right. Look for his return. And my last thought. In Ezekiel 3, he talks about, he says, Son of man, I've set you as a watchman. He said, now, when the enemy is coming, I want you to warn the people. And he said, if you warn them and they don't listen to you, they're going to die in their sin. But he said, the blood I won't require at your hands. But he said, I want you to tell them. I want you to tell them. Now, we ought to win everybody we can to Jesus Christ. Folks. And I could pull up and talk about that, and your pastor could, but there's nothing like, there's rewards for winning people to Christ. And, Daniel chapter 12 talks about the wise shall shine the brightness of firmament, stars forevermore. And then you remember, the Bible said, he that winneth souls is wise. The greatest thing. And we need to be conscious of this one thing. Everybody I look at every day is going to heaven or hell. And if they don't know Christ, they're going to hell. And that ought to move our hearts for contention. Over at Walnut Cove is 14 miles from us, a little town. About a little over a year ago, one of our little ladies lives in that area back over there, was going down the street in that little town, just nothing that much. And some little short, heavy-set man coming up the street. And she gave him a tract, and she said, I'd like to give you something good to read. A man can't hardly read, to be honest with you, but he can read a little bit. And he turned over, and it said, Gospel Light Baptist Church. This is a shame on our church. It's about 12 miles from it. And he had never heard of it and been in that area all his life. But it told where it was at. And his life was in such a mess. And he said something, said, why don't you hunt that place up? And he would come, and our building, they told me he was there for four, five, six Sunday nights, and I didn't know it. I mean, he's a little short feller. He's about as broad as he is. You know, he's a little fella. I mean, and he'd slip in the back. And they said, someone would say, Brother Bobby, that's a little fella, slips in, sits down, and slips out after church. That happened for weeks, it said. And then one of the men said, when you ask if anybody wanted to be remembered in prayer, it wouldn't save. Said, he raised his hand. I didn't see it. I hate it so bad. And then the next Sunday night, he raised his hand. I seen it. And I never walked back and tried to pull anybody, nothing like that, nothing. And I just prayed. And we had our invitation, but he didn't come. And I was pleading. And he didn't come. People didn't know who I was pleading for. After service, we're standing around talking. I said something like this, I'm afraid you're going to wait too late. And after service had been over 5, 10, maybe 10 minutes. And I'm around the front, people are talking. And all at once, here stands, he sat so far back, I couldn't see how he looked, what he looked like at that time. And here's this little fellow standing up there. And he said, could I talk to you a minute? And I said, yes, sir. And he said, have I waited too late? Have I waited too late? And I said, what? He said, a while ago, I was sitting back here on the back. I met man. And you said, I'm afraid you're going to wait too late. Is it too late? I said, no, you're that man, Ray. I said, no, come over here. Let's talk a little bit. And I led him to Christ. He didn't know what I meant about being too late. I led him to the Lord. Now, listen, I'll tell you this quickly. He said it had been a year now. He is faithful. I preach somewhere 10, 12, 14 miles from home, and he finds out he wants to go with me all the time. He said, I can't read much, but I like that, preacher. And he said, you got to pray for my family. It's busted up. My two boys are on alcohol. My daughter's living a rough life. And I tell him all to come over our women. They keep telling me. So when they slipped in, he said, one of my boys is here. I guess his boy is probably 35 years old. I said, good. You got to get him after service. I said, now, Bill, don't push him. I said, you just love him and keep him. So he nobody pushed him. And then I think he missed a week. And then Bill whispered to me, he said, he's back with me. I said, good. And last Sunday morning, a week ago, I guess Sunday morning, a week ago last Sunday morning, he raised his hand. No, I believe it was just, yeah, a week ago yesterday, he raised his hand. And we had an old Baptist preacher that's not able to preach, visits us sometimes. And when the invitation, I was talking to some people down the front, and there he was. He got that preacher sitting close to him. He didn't know him. And he said, I'll go with you. And he got saved. Amen. Now, I don't know why I went to all that, but this is what it is. Here's a lady, just give him a track. And here's a man, can't hardly read it, but he could read the name of the church on the back of it, where it was at. You see what's happened now? He's saved. His boys got saved. And ain't no telling. That's one of the greatest things in men you could ever do is to get people saved. You never know how they will go on and on down the line and get people saved. Take these things home with you tonight. If you will, just simple thing. Tonight, if some things you need to die to and forget it, it's agitating you, do it tonight. Do it tonight. And then if the devil, it says things, and maybe you just resist him in Jesus' name and say, that's the devil, and the Lord can take care of it. And then if you don't have a time to get together to pray, then you get that time. Make a point tonight to do that. You dads ought to have a little prayer with your family. And mother, if the dad's not saved, every night. My daddy's been in heaven 67 years last August. I was 12 when he died at 39 years old. But I've never forgot us three boys. Dad would say, boys, sit down over there. And my mother would come out of the kitchen. And dad would say, God's been good to us now. Let me read you some of his word. And he'd read the word. If we had homes like that today, we wouldn't have hell in the homes like we got today. And that's 67 years ago. I never forgot it. And old dad get on his knees and pray. I'm just saying that's important. I didn't mean to have an hour of service at home, but just a few minutes all the time, it'll do something. Let's bow and have a word of prayer.